Thank you, operator, and welcome everybody. I'm going to try and keep this to 20 minutes or less. Our title, Around the World in 20 Minutes, is essentially to talk about the fact that a lot of what's been going on in the markets is sort of scattered with issues around the world, and I'm hoping to cover most of that off in 20 minutes or less. So let's get at it. The second quarter was really covered off with a lot of uncertainty. There was a lot of uncertainty surrounding interest rates, surrounding the price of oil. Of course, Greece is a topic that everybody has, I think, heard much more than they care to. China is a big one out there, but one that I think a lot of people may not be as aware as to how much impact it's having on the overall markets. Of course, our dollar is something to talk about, and commodity prices. So all in all, those issues were quite volatile or uncertain through the second quarter, and generally that is why markets overall performed rather weak during the second quarter. But they are still positive for the year. So, you know, we've got to have some ups and downs along the way. But like I say, we are still positive over the course of the year. What I want to do is I'm going to talk a little bit about asset class performance, stocks versus bonds, that sort of thing. I do want to talk about some of the differences in geographical issues, things that are going on in different parts of the world. And then what I call just general issues, and how a lot of these things are interconnected, but that's the way I want to try and break it down this morning. With respect to asset class, over the second quarter, I think it's safe to say that bonds actually outperformed stocks marginally. And that is, I know we look at it and interest rates are so low and we wonder, well, how could the bonds outperform? Well, the reality was that over the course of that time, we had, because a lot of our portfolios would be focused, the bond component would be focused in Canada. And in Canada, of course, we've had interest rates dropping. So remember that when interest rates drop, the value of bonds actually goes up. And so the bond part of our portfolio was performing better than the stock part during the second quarter, which was marginally down. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why, despite what's going on, what we feel is going on in markets, we always want to maintain a bit of a balanced portfolio. So that's what went on through the second quarter. I can't see that continuing too much going forward because, of course, there is only so far interest rates can go down. And the more interest rates are low, I guess that generally is going to cause us to want to be in better performing assets or better expectations, which, of course, is going to lead to a demand for stocks. And we would expect that the stock part of the portfolio would, over time, outperform the bond part. From a geography standpoint, the big story on the positive side is the U.S. Their economy is, arguably the best performing in the world. Their markets have been doing better accordingly, and of course we see that in their performance of the U.S. dollar, things like that. So the U.S. is thankfully the largest economy in the world, the largest market in the world, and happens to be the one that is actually performing reasonably well. Europe is stuck in the mud. I think there's a couple of issues with respect to Europe. One is the fact that we go back to the big financial crisis of 2008, and the one thing that the U.S. does is when things are rough and going down, they clean house. You know, they allow things to fail. They do what has to be done, and they do it early. Europe is very much a different story, and they try to nurse all of the sick enterprises along. And of course, what that means is that you don't have those big failures, but you're dealing with it forever. And of course, that's what's going on in Europe. They're just sort of stuck. And hopefully that turns around. Greece has been a kind of a pain in the rear end for them. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about Greece as we move on to issues. But for now, let's just accept that Europe is, from an economy standpoint, has been struggling. China is another one. We don't hear a lot about it because it is a closed economy, but it is a big economy. And what's been happening in China is the world is so used to rapid growth in China that when it slows a little bit, it's not that they're in a recession. They're not going negative. They are still growing. They're actually, in fact, growing at, I believe it's close to 5% annually, which is, for the rest of the world or for the developed world, would be a huge number. But China is still a developing economy, and 5% growth is considered very much a slowdown. That would be like the U.S. having a recession. So China is a drag on the global economy right now, something that is impacting when we talk about commodities and oil, which, again, I'm going to touch on when I look at some of the issues. Japan is, from an economy standpoint, is another kind of slow-moving one, and they've got some demographic issues. They've got very much an aging population. They are very much a saving population. It's part of their culture. They don't spend a lot. And their government over there has been trying to print money like crazy to get their economy going. Their markets have done, reasonably well compared to other markets in the world. But their economy still isn't really banging on all cylinders. And Canada, of course, anybody that listens to the news or reads newspapers knows that we are, I'm not sure we're technically in a recession or actually in a recession. That's because we've got an election year going on, politicians want to all use their own terminology to define what's going on in Canada. But there's no question that we have a slowdown taking place. A large part of that slowdown is the impact of the energy sector. The energy sector in Canada was really the engine for any of our growth over the last number of years. And, of course, when the energy sector takes a downturn, well, then that means that the Canadian economy is going to, overall, is going to be slowing. And that's what's happening. And then that sort of leads into the interest rate discussion in Canada anyways, because we've got interest rates coming down in Canada, and if you recall, over the last couple of years, a lot of the discussion from financial institutions, from politicians, has been the concern about the level of debt in Canada, household debt, which is a true concern. And so then you kind of scratch your head and you wonder, well, now, why would we be lowering the interest rates if we're concerned about the level of household debt? Well, clearly, what the Bank of Canada is trying to do is they're trying to bring our dollar down. Of course, they will swear that's not what they're doing. In order to kickstart an economy, they can't control oil prices. So in order to kickstart our economy, what they're trying to do is kickstart exports. And the only tool they really have to kickstart exports is to have our dollar go down. Now, that can have an effect over time. It can have an effect, and particularly should help our trade with the U.S. The problem is that if you look at any of our trade elsewhere, their economies are in poor shape, so you're sort of pushing on a string. You're trying to pump up the exports to countries that their economy is in tougher shape than ours. So it becomes a bit of an issue there. When we look at some of these issues, I've got China, Greece, oil, interest rates, dollar, and commodities, and You know, the first thing I want to say is that when we talk about these issues, you will find that they are very much interconnected. So one has an impact on the other. I also want to point out that when I talk about them, I tend to get going and I'm giving you out my opinion or my view of what's happening with some of these issues. It's not intended to be predictive of what's going to go on over the next number of months or couple of years. But, you know, I look at some of these issues. Greece has been a problem over in Europe. And, you know, I know a lot of us, when I talk to people, we say, well, why don't they just cut their losses and let them go? Greece is a perennial problem because generally they don't want to pay their taxes. And yet they want the government to support everything. Well, that for us, particularly in Western Canada, where we're used to being self-supportive, we know that that's just a recipe that's not going to work. It's just plain not going to work. Well, again, in Europe, remember that they try to nurse everything along. So what's happened is they've nursed this problem along by putting more good money after bad money. They keep lending more and more money to Greece. And Greece doesn't fix their problem. Well, you keep lending more and more money to Greece. What happens? You're digging your hole deeper and deeper, and it's harder and harder to cut your losses. And that essentially is one of the big problems over there, is that they are so committed to Greece in terms of money that they've lent there that it's hard now to cut their losses, because if they do, what's going to happen is Greece is going to default on all that debt, and that's going to cause added economic problems throughout the rest of Europe, and in particular Germany, who has lent the most money to Greece. So that's one of the big issues. There's also, in my view, some geopolitical things going on there, because Greece is a part of NATO, and if Europe was to cut its losses on Greece, Greece is still going to search out support. It's still going to search out money. And if it's not getting it from Europe, where is it going to get it from? Well, you know, it's probably going to look to Russia and China, and now all of a sudden you've got Russian and Chinese influence that comes into the Mediterranean, and there's all kinds of issues that go on there. And I know they're not really issues that anybody's talking about a whole lot, but you can bet behind the scenes there's a lot of discussion about that stuff going on. Let's talk about China. Again, as I said, you know, it's an economy that's been growing like crazy and has really been the demand for commodities and oil and you know, all of what we've seen over the last 10 or 15 years with the rise of these things has been because of Chinese demand. Well, now China is slowing. And so the demand for all of this stuff has been backing off. And of course, the whole concept of a commodity is that it can be easily substituted. So if the demand drops off, if supply is above demand by any amount, then that means the price is going to fall. That's basic economics. And so if the demand that we've seen from China drops off for commodities, including oil, then the price is going to fall. That's just the way that it is. And so that's why we see all of the very, not just oil, but that's why we see other commodities going down in price. Oil is one that really sticks out for most of us because we live out here in Western Canada. Oil is a big part of our economy. And so we try to figure out, well, what's going on with oil and who's pulling the strings and what are they trying to do? And, oh, it must be the Saudis that are trying to punish somebody. Well, sure, you can bring all of those little things into the picture, but at the end of the day, oil is a commodity and it is subject to supply and demand. And if your big push on the demand side is lower, right? If China is demanding lower and Europe, because of their economy, is demanding lower, the price is going to fall. And I think one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that the difference between supply and demand the amount of oil in that that is the difference, so that equilibrium, is very, very small. Like the difference in daily demand versus supply is very, very small. So it doesn't take a lot of change to cause price movement. And, you know, we can talk about Saudis, we can talk about the U.S. Shale developments, we can talk about all that stuff. But at the end of the day, my belief is that until demand picks up, so that's the Chinese economy and the European economy, until we see a pickup in demand, we are going to be dealing with low-priced oil and low-priced commodities. Those commodities are also one of the other things that we have to think about is they're also priced in U.S. dollars. So then you now start talking about the U.S. dollar. And, you know, the U.S. dollar is strong because the U.S. is the strongest economy in the world right now. So their dollar has been appreciating. And plus, if we think about it, there's a lot of talk about the U.S. increasing interest rates. So you take the strongest economy in the world and you look at it from a standpoint of they're talking about increasing interest rates. Well, those two factors are going to cause their dollar to go up. And so they are economic factors that are causing the U.S. dollar to go up and other currencies to go down in relation to the U.S. dollar. So you can start to see how all these issues are interconnected. And, of course, the Canadian dollar is it's a commodity dollar. We can talk about it any other way that we want, but the reality is that our economy is still very much resource-based, and so our dollar relative to the U.S. dollar is, for the most part, going to fluctuate based on what's happening with commodities. So when we look at that overall and in summarizing all of those issues, essentially, in order for us to see our world, our Canadian world do better, we need to see the Chinese economy and the European economy come back to life. That ultimately is what we need. Now, from an overall market or portfolio standpoint, I think probably the biggest thing that we can look at there is our exposure to Canada specifically is quite muted. Really, our main exposure to Canada would be on the fixed income side or the bond side, and we would have in most of our portfolios probably only about about a 15% weighting to actual Canadian stocks. Our biggest weighting would be to U.S. stocks and then to other international equities. So overall, we've got a portfolio that does span the globe, and we are dealing with, I think the markets generally reflect all of the issues that are at play right now. So I think that if we're looking at what to hope for, because I don't think hoping for oil is necessarily the right thing for us to think about, because oil and commodities will happen as a result of other things that are going on. I think the biggest thing to hope for is that, you know, China, every economy, good or bad, is going to go through cyclical expansions and slowdowns. And China is in a little bit of a slowdown right now. They'll come out of it. You've got over 1 billion people over there. They'll come out of it. And I think that what we want is we'd like them to come out of it sooner rather than later. So that gives you kind of a, like I say, around the world snapshot of what's been going on. I hope that gives you a little bit of color on what you might hear in the news. And so I think we've probably done about as much as we can do for today. I know I've gone a little bit over 20 minutes, but it was a lot of stuff to cover. So I want to remind everybody, if you've got any questions, you want to talk about what we've covered off in this call, or you want to talk to Ryan or I about your specific situations, I mean, absolutely give us a call. And other than that, I hope everybody has a great day and a good rest of the summer. Thanks for joining us today. Have a good one.